And welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, rbnrepublicbroadcasting.org. It's that dog that you hear off in the distance, you know, the one that's barking? That's RBN. We're off in the distance, but you can hear us. And honestly, that dog's got a lot to say. So go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, and send badly needed fundage. We are the, I always say something about free speech. I said we're the dog off in the distance barking. We are the dog off in the distance barking free. Is it free speech or free bark? I don't know. But that's what we're doing. 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Phone it into 1-800-724-2719, extension 3. Operators are standing by. So is Paul Stevenson. Paul, welcome to the show.
Good to be with you, Patrick. Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you for making yourself available. So we tend to talk mostly about international politics, but there's a lot going on with Russia and Ukraine. There's stuff going on in Israel. There's stuff going on domestically in Britain. There's stuff going on domestically in America. Where would you like to start?
Well, we could briefly discuss, you know, the situation in the terrorist attack, because we haven't spoken at all about that. Because, like I said to you off air, I've been ill for about a week, and we haven't done a show about 10 days. So it's a little while ago, but it's always. I think when something like that happens, it's always good to have a few days anyway to sort of digest it and sort of have a bit of a think about it before you start opening your mouth too forthrightly. You know, I've heard, for example, some guys that I respect a lot, and even Putin, where I think they've crossed the line into sort of, you know, whilst probably correct, there's a difference, and I heard someone say this earlier, and they're correct about this. There's a difference between evidence and proof, you know, that ISIS or that the West or the CIA or even Ukraine were involved in this attack. But I've heard guys, I think, come out very, very quickly and say, oh, this was the CIA. They're probably right, but I haven't seen enough evidence to say that that's unequivocally the case, where it's actually, you know, unequivocal proof. There is some evidence to suggest, perhaps, you know, that things aren't all as they seem. But that, I thought that was a very strange event. I'd be interested in your thoughts on it. I saw, apart from the wider implications of it, I saw footage of the soldiers themselves, and it just, or of the terrorists themselves. It just does not look right. These guys just, I don't know, they don't look like your typical terrorist sort of hardcore ISIS types. They look kind of vulnerable, quite frankly, and they looked in terrible shape. Physically.
Okay, so I've listened to what various people have to say, and you know, at this point I haven't reached any conclusions. Most about 10-15 minutes just before you contacted me, I was listening to Jim Fetzer's show from Tuesday, from today. It will be yeah, a day or two, you know, a couple days ago, as people listen to this show. And I was listening to it at 1.5 speed. Most people, you can listen to at 1.5 speed, and it's fine. But the funny thing is, if you're listening to Jim Fetzer at 1.5 speed, it's fine. But then he has the Beatles music right going into and out of the commercials. And listening to the bumper music at 1.5 speed is kind of an experience. But Fetzer, he was saying, and how surprised should we be? He has people who are contacting him saying that it's a false flag. How surprised should we be that Jim Fetzer has people contacting him saying it's a false flag? Jim Fetzer is open-minded himself. And I've heard other people speculate this too, that Putin would have done this himself in order to whatever. Now,
elected. Oh, that already happened.
25 years ago, he became prime minister in August of 1999. And immediately there were these, well, there had been bombings in Moscow and elsewhere, supposedly perpetrated by Chechen terrorists. And there had been this Chechen separatist movement, and he cracked down on it, and the country rallied around him. He came in as somebody who was kind of Vladimir who? Nobody really knew who he was. Not, he wasn't a big name in Russian politics. He kind of came out of nowhere. And he was Yeltsin's prime minister. Yeltsin was extremely unpopular. There was no chance Yeltsin was going to win re-election, win his rematch against Gennady Zyuganov, the communist candidate. No chance. And so he brought in, as kind of a desperation movie, brought in Vladimir Putin. Vladimir Putin got a lot of support in his crackdown on the Chechen terrorists. And at the end of the year, Yeltsin just resigned. Putin became acting president. And then in the elections for a regular term in office about 3 months later, Putin beat Zyuganov. So, you know, and at the time, that's kind of a long story, but at the time, I was willing to believe that maybe that was false flag. But, you know, Putin
not 3 days after he's been elected. I could see three of it happens 3 days before he is elected, but, you know.
Yeah. I mean, Putin is so popular now that everybody is rallying around him. And the to the extent he had opponents, the opponents that he had were people who thought he wasn't acting forcefully enough with regards to the West, that he was too often fooled by the West and he was too cooperative with the West. But, you know, after these past 2 years of him taking on the West and on occasion coming out and saying, you know, I was too naive with the West. I did get fooled. And he didn't say like George Bush, I won't be fooled again. He didn't say that. But so the false flag I don't see. Mark Collett said he thought the prime candidate, the prime suspect would be Israel because qui bono, who benefits the most. And we can talk about that if you'd like. And Alexander Mercuris was looking at it and saying that as far as ISIS goes, it really doesn't match the ISIS playbook, that maybe the ISIS people could have been involved, but the people who were caught, they were not like, they were people who didn't seem to have been trained for a long time. They weren't like the highly ideologically committed type of people that ISIS is known for. They were trying to get away. They looked scared. It wasn't a good look for ISIS to the extent that they were involved. And of course, then Putin himself.
It looked all wrong.
Yeah. And then Putin himself is saying, well, okay, we caught these guys from Tajikistan, but. But it
almost seemed to me
Ukraine might well be involved. Yeah, Ukraine might well be behind it. He said we caught the trigger men, but we don't know who hired them.
Yeah, and I think that's probably right. But as I say, even Putin has like released a statement where basically, you know, he's kind of directing the investigation. You know, which I have mixed feelings about, but I can understand. Where he's basically saying, yes, these guys are ISIS or they're, you know, Islamists and they pulled the trigger. But, you know, our investigation will be basically trying to get to, you know, unveil the hand of the United States, essentially. And they may be right, but I'm not really sure. You know, if our governments do that type of thing like they did with the Skripal case over here, I remember not being a big fan of that way of operating. It's like, okay, well, keep an open mind. Don't be saying this is what we think it's going to be and we're going to have an investigation which proves it. You know, when you're doing an investigation, you want to look at everything. But with that said, I think Putin's probably right. I think, you know, first of all, Russia has the Chechen history that you mentioned. They were, you know, as far as I understood it, for all our you know, all of the Western facade of fighting ISIS in Syria, we were the ones that were actually funding and arming them and have a history of doing that in the Mujahideen days and everything else. And actually, Russia was the only one that was really fighting ISIS, because ISIS were being used as a proxy to overthrow Assad. And we know this from people like Eva Bartlett over there and other independent journalists and footage of hospitals in the Golan Heights where, you know, infamously Netanyahu's coming in, you know, to shaking hands with these patching up these so-called moderate rebels who are a mixture of sort of jihadi maniacs and death squads mercenaries. And we also know...
I just want to clarify, was it Netanyahu? Did we have pictures of him? Or was it like other cabinet members?
Oh, I'm pretty sure it was Netanyahu himself at the time in the Golan Heights, shaking hands with soldiers which were being patched up there. And I think Ukraine itself does harbor some of these kind of, it's imported some of these Islamic extremists and, you know, is happy for them to exist in there. People who are anti-Russian, probably because of the Syrian situation. And maybe some of these guys who, I think there, I saw a report for what it's worth and RT, I think, was it RT? Yeah, I think so. Where, you know, they have had some of these guys there and protected, if you like, from the Chechenian days who've been fighting the Russians since the 90s. So these groups do exist, whether it's hostility to Russia. I actually even heard Alexander Mercouris earlier suggest he actually pushed back on Putin's statement when Putin suggested that, you know, basically there would be no motivation from Islamic terrorists to be attacking Russia, and only the United States would have the motivation. He pushed back on that. He mentioned something about the recent Security Council vote or something like that. I don't know what he was referring to specifically there. I know the Russians and the Chinese vetoed that vote for, you know, the ceasefire and all that. But I think they vetoed it for the right reasons, because again, it was a farce, you know. So sorry to be long winded, but you know, I think there are some people, you know, there are some elements that could be quite easily mobilized for that purpose. But these guys, I just saw the pictures of them. And like you said, I think the evidence, while it's not proof of anything, but it might lead to proof if they follow it and it leads that way. But these guys were fleeing to Ukraine, and they're fleeing to Ukraine for a reason, either because, you know, probably because that's where they're coming from, and they feel protected and safer in Ukraine. So we can assume that they either lived in Ukraine or they had some sort of base in Ukraine. So, you know, and we also know that it's largely the case, as I understand ISIS, these guys get martyred. They don't try and escape. And, you know, they usually get shot on the scene, and then it's all Allahu Akbar, I'm off to heaven, I've done my bit, I'm going to be with seven virgins or whatever some of this extremist Islamic stuff believes. So, you know, I think Russia is probably right, and they'll probably unveil it at some point. You know, I think they're right about the Nord Stream, but, you know, this is kind of different because it's like, you know, it involves human beings dying, civilians dying. So it's going to be interesting. So what was the Israeli angle? I've heard some people talk about Israel as well. What's the angle there?
Well, okay. So for instance, a couple of days ago, I was pulling up one of my browsers and Microsoft suggests an article to me, and it's written by some Jew. I don't even think we need the name. It's just some Jew. And it says, Putin must realize he's been fighting the wrong war. Okay. So he's been fighting against NATO in Ukraine, which is run by Jews. Well, that was the wrong war, because the real problem is Islamic fundamentalism. And of course, Israel's on the front line of that, right? They are on the front line fighting Islamic fundamentalism.
Interestingly, ISIS have never attacked Israel.
Yeah, I've heard that. How about suspicious. That? Yeah, how about that? Oh, one time they accidentally hit Israel, but they apologized, so it's all good.
Yeah. All- I mean, yeah, I think, you know, I think there's enough evidence to know that these types of groups are utilized for these types of purposes, but, I mean, man, these guys, they just, I mean, think about this. One of them was told he was getting paid, you know, if I take this at face value, that he was getting paid 10,000 rubles or something or whatever it was. It's, mm-hmm. it amounts to about $5,000. I mean, who in their right mind goes in and starts shooting people for $5,000? And where did they find these guys?
I know, I heard that price tag. I mean, I'm a poorly paid host on RBN, and I wouldn't even kill a bunch of people.
I know. Well, we shouldn't laugh about it, but it's almost comical.
I don't think any of our Fed posty callers would. You know, I don't
think. Yeah, the whole thing is just strange. I saw these guys, and you know, I don't fully trust the Russians either on all of this. So it's like you need to be very careful. Or one needs to be very careful when you're looking at all this stuff and trying to figure out what exactly is going on. Because you saw these guys, being caught, and there's this viral video where one of them particularly looks like he hasn't been treated too well. Not that I'm, you know, affording him any sympathy after what he's done. But he's, you know, he's been twisted up in 50 different angles by some 6'8" Russian brick crap house and asking him, you know, who was he working for and how much did you get paid and blah, blah, blah. So it's very difficult with these things to, you know, verify because Russia has its own agenda too. You know, Russia, you know, Putin, first of all, Putin's a bit obsessed. Every other word that comes out of his mouth is about neo-Nazi. You know, he's got bigger problems than neo-Nazis in that country with what's going on and what could materialize if this thing keeps escalating. But, you know, this guy, it sounds like a horrible thing to say, but if you didn't know the background of what this fella had just done, you would instantly feel sorry for him. He just looked like maybe he's got an IQ problem or something, and somebody convinced him this was a good idea, and he off he went and thought that he could somehow escape to Ukraine. I mean, the whole thing, actually, there's an element of just complete bizarreness to me. It's just really bizarre.
Well, one of the points that Alexander Mikuris was making, which I think anybody would who thought about it for a second would think the same thing, is why would he go towards Ukraine when Russia's at war with Ukraine? If you're at war with a neighboring country, that's probably not the easiest border to cross. And the guys from Central Asia, you've got this extremely long border between Russia and Kazakhstan, and then Kazakhstan's got long, long borders with all the other Central Asian countries. Why would he run to an extremely highly guarded border rather than try to get to this massive porous border? So that is bizarre.
Yeah, there's so many sort of bizarre elements about it. But you're saying that because I've been sick, I've heard people mention Israel a couple of times. I've failed to see what the motive is with Israel. That's why I asked you. So what Israel are trying to say, you shouldn't be fighting Ukraine and NATO. You need to join the great fight against ISIS since they're constantly attacking us.
Well, no, that's not really what – and that's not even what Mark Collett was saying, but that's what some Jew wrote. So this is how, this is one way that Jews in the media are trying to spin it.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
So excited to have you as part of the Wild Pastures family, and we look forward to bringing you the pasture-raised meats that you and your family will love. Now, we started Wild Pastures because so many of my clients would tell me they just couldn't find high-quality pasture-raised meats, and even when they did, it was so expensive that they couldn't afford to eat it regularly. Now, I'm not talking about the bottom-of-the-barrel healthy meats that have claims like natural or free-range or even cage-free, terms that were actually created by the industrial food industry to make us feel all warm and fuzzy about buying their low quality products. I'm talking about truly nourishing pasture-raised meats, the kind that you'll never really find in a grocery store. Our farmers are doing things beyond organic. Our beef is 100% grass-fed and grass-finished and raised on pastures free from chemicals and other pesticides. Our chickens are 100% pasture-raised, where they get their natural diet of grass and forage and insects. We will never settle for free-range, which is actually one of the most deceptive terms in the chicken industry. In fact, less than 0.1% of the chicken consumed in the United States is truly pasture-raised in the way that ours is. And our pork is 100% pasture-raised as well. So if you care about where your food comes from, then you have definitely made it to the right place. As a Wild Pastures member, you'll be supporting the most highly principled farmers in America and getting the most nutrient-dense, nourishing, and sustainable meats in the world. But I'm confident you'll love being part of our mission at Wild Pastures, and you will really love the delicious, nourishing meats that we're going to deliver straight to your door.
Visit republicbroadcasting.org and click the Wild Pastures banner ad. Secure a shipment today. Beef, poultry, and pork. Raised the way nature intended.
That's what some Jew wrote. So this is how, this is one way that Jews in the media are trying to spin it. Is that for Israel's benefit? This is how, it's a spin that the Jews in the media are trying to put on, and they're putting it on for the benefit.
But why would they want to indict them? Why would they want to raise suspicion on the Israelis if they're Jews themselves?
No, they're not necessarily raising suspicion on Israelis. They're saying this is ISIS, right? This is ISIS and Putin. Putin is fighting the wrong people. When he's fighting Ukraine, he's fighting the wrong people. Now, ISIS, of course, Putin did fight ISIS, and so the idea that ISIS would retaliate against him, well, okay. 8 years later, but of course, the branch of ISIS that these people supposedly represent isn't the one with the caliphate. It's something that originates in Central Asia. In the midst of the Israeli genocide of Palestinians in Gaza and the impending threat of the destruction of the Al-Aqsa Mosque. If you're ISIS, really, are you going to try to settle an old score with Russia and Putin rather than coming to the aid of your fellow Muslims? I don't know. But you know, that's the question. So these Central Asian Muslims pulled the trigger, but they don't seem to be the master planners of anything, right? So
yeah, there's been 40 other of these types of figures, ISIS figures, arrested in Istanbul last night. And of course, Russia have already responded by attacking with one of those hypersonic missiles the SBU building, like an intelligence, the SBU, the Russia or the Ukrainian intelligence service, and two other strikes in Kiev. So I think previously they hadn't been sort of doing so much of that, but the gloves are off now, it would seem, that even maybe Zelensky might be sort of feeling a little nervous, although it hasn't caused him to shut his mouth, because I've heard him coming out with the usual referring to Putin as a scumbag and all this. I mean, I don't know, when you look at our politicians here and when you look at them there, the amount of lies and the amount of propaganda and projection that goes on from the people we support. I mean, I really can't stomach this guy, Zelensky, particularly. It's just the whole stand. Just think where the standards have dropped to in say 30 or 40 years. We have nobody who's even like professional. There's no diplomacy anymore. No one seems to be scared about nuclear war anymore. And I don't think this is any coincidence with the rise of a certain group of people, because you take their money and you will lose all dignity as an individual, as a group, as a political party, and as a nation. And I think that's where the West is at now. You know, it's got no dignity. It's got no self-respect. They're just a bunch of little uncouth little criminals, which have basically turned our whole nations into uncouth little criminal nations, you know?
Mm-hmm. So I don't have a theory about it. Obviously Ukraine has tried to do all sorts of things, terroristic things, assassination of the an attempted assassination of Alexander Dugin, but they wound up killing his daughter.
The Belgorod explosion.
Nuclear power plants, you know, lobbing drones or missiles into I guess, what is it? Not Novgorod. What's the
Belgorod.
Yeah, Belgorod.
And I think they tried to take control of a facility there which actually contained nuclear weapons as well. Maybe, you see, this is like maybe the type of thing that Victoria Nuland was talking about when she had some nasty surprises. Others are speculating that this was this terrorist attack. And, of course, because of this history, you can't blame anybody or blame the Russians, because this is more kind of evidence that, well, certainly we know the Ukrainians are capable of it, you know, and we know who runs Ukraine. So, you know, it's back to that, sort of theory.
By the way, mentioning Victoria Nuland, and she did say on a couple of occasions, apparently she said, was it in Israel? Or was it in Ukraine? She was on a foreign trip somewhere in January and she said nasty surprises. And then she was in one of her very last appearances before she got fired. She was at a forum it's like Georgetown University. What is it called? The Center for International Strategic Studies, or Center for Strategic and International Studies, CSIS. And she was at a forum and she said this summer Putin is in for some nasty surprises. Well, okay, here's the thing. When you make these kind of not particularly.
Would you like to ride in my beautiful balloon? Would you like to ride in my beautiful balloon? We could float among the stars together, you and I. For we can.
The truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth. Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because big tech, big pharma, and big brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home.
Email Tom at republicbroadcasting.org. T-O-M at republicbroadcasting.org.
And she was at a forum, and she said this summer Putin is in for some nasty surprises. Well, okay, here's the thing. When you make these kind of not particularly veiled threats, but unspecific threats, and then something like this happens, you know, I'm not saying that the United States was behind it, but Victoria Nuland did make specific, pretty specific threats about the Nord Stream pipeline not going forward. And then and then it got bombed. And then she says, oh, Russia's going to be in for some nasty surprises. And then this happens. That doesn't necessarily mean that this was her doing. But you know, it throws suspicion on you. And
yeah. Well,
one of the things that I was talking about like 7-8 years ago, when at the very end of the Obama administration, after the Trump election and during the Obama lame duck session, you had Obama said that the Russians had hacked the election. They had attacked our democracy. This was like an act of war. And we are going to respond at a time and place of our choosing. Well, when you make that kind of response, when you say something like that, then any let's just say you're some Ukrainian terrorists or whatever go and attack a nuclear facility in Crimea, then what happens? How would the Russians not know that was the time and place of Obama's choosing? And this is why it was really, really important at that time for General Flynn to talk to the Russian ambassador and say, look, just just keep things calm. When we take over, we'll try to sort things out. It was really important. Anyway, there's one thing I want to say regarding Israel, because we're speculating on what Israel may gain from things. So as we've been saying for the past 5 months, the longer this business goes on in Gaza, the worse it's going to be for Israel. We've been saying that, and I think, you know, later in the show, we can talk about some of the things that are getting worse for Israel. Things are getting definitely worse for Israel. Israel has their Samson option. Everybody knows about that. If Israel's going to get regime changed, they're prepared to launch nuclear missiles at European capitals or just out in all directions. And so the thing is, Russia has increasingly been allying itself with the Muslim world, with Iran in particular, but Saudi Arabia and Egypt and United Arab Emirates just joined the BRICS.
And, Syria.
Yeah, and a longstanding relationship with Syria. And so one might think, it's plausible that Netanyahu might have had the Mossad do something like this as kind of a reminder of that Samson option. We are capable of striking out at you. I'm not saying that's my theory, but I'm just saying if you're speculating as to possible Israeli motives for doing this, that would be one.
Yeah, I wouldn't put anything past the Israelis or the likes of Victoria Nuland. These people are absolutely crazy. In fact, I'm not really sure why it came up in my YouTube feed because he's barred on there, but I saw Alex Jones and another guy who's on his show, and Jones has reached the point where he's been quite outspoken against Israel and saying this is a genocide. And there was another guy on there with him too, who works at InfoWars. He's quite a thoughtful guy, so I'm not going to try and condemn him too much. But his speculation was, the general feel of the theme of the discussion was, what is wrong with Israel? Don't they see they're losing this support globally, like you were saying about Trump off air and stuff? And he referred to it. And again, I'm not saying he was justifying it, but one of his theories to explain this behavior is that the Israelis, they've kind of almost like got post-traumatic stress disorder as a result of the Holocaust. Now, again, he wasn't saying that's what I believe is a justification for it, but when you start saying those sorts of things, you are trying to justify, to some extent, you're trying to reason why this kind of behavior has been perpetrated against people. Why, you're acknowledging the behavior, you're acknowledging the genocide, but I really think that they, either they're being disingenuous or they don't realize what they're dealing with. I mean, these people are murdering psychopaths, and these people are racially supremacists, Jewish racially supremacists who feel that they've got the right to dominate and subjugate the whole world. Well, we shouldn't be surprised. I mean, it's a bit like sort of scratching your head and trying to understand why a dog barks. It just does because that's what dogs do. So these people are not somehow victims. Most of the people in Israel, I know they're very propagandized about the whole Holocaust thing, but they're a paranoid people anyway. And some of that is the propaganda. But, they're both paranoid and extremely aggressive and murderous. I don't think we need to look for any deeper reasons as to why the Israelis are doing what they're doing. And they're doing it because that's what's in their nature. And certainly, even if you were to try and say, well, not everybody in Israel, okay, there seems to me the polls reveal otherwise, that even if they got rid of Netanyahu, that they'd bring in someone else who would still, continue the same policy in Gaza. Notwithstanding, there are people in Israel that are outraged by it as well. But for the most part, he's got, a lot of support for the policy in Gaza. But, Jones was showing this video that's gone viral. I don't know where you saw it, but there was these three Palestinians that were just essentially, it looks like there's like a drone footage of it. Have you seen it? John, this is how John was doing his show, where these guys were just unarmed, walking along, three of them, and I don't know what sort of weapon they used, but they essentially vaporized these three men.
Right.
There was nothing left of them. It was just blood splattered all over the place. I'm sorry, but that is not normal. And, you know, it takes a particular kind of hatefulness and vindictiveness to sort of carry that sort of stuff out. But they were trying to reason that like you were saying about Trump, you know, that this is terrible looking for Israel and blah, blah, blah. You know, Trump, of course, like you say, is always ambiguous, and it's an election year. But yeah, I just thought I'd make that point. I mean, my own opinion is that if you understand what you're dealing with here, then you don't need to be justified or, you know, trying to explain it in rational terms. It's not rational. You're talking about murdering a mentality of murderers.
Yeah. Now, white people, white Christians, white Europeans, they are not willing to stick up for themselves. But they're not willing to defend themselves. But they are, to an extent, willing to stick up for various non-whites. They're still willing to do that. They're willing to get agitated to promote other people's interests. So I want to present something this way, because the white people, part of the reason they're not willing to stick up for themselves is because they've been humiliated by the Holocaust narrative. That's part of it. Also because of slavery and a whole bunch of other things, and American Indians and whatnot. But with the Holocaust narrative, okay, so the Holocaust narrative has done a lot of damage, but also the Holocaust narrative, as you mentioned, has contributed greatly to Jewish paranoia. And I think Jews are there are genetic factors in personality. And I would wager that Jews are genetically more predispositioned to paranoid tendencies. And this, the Jews themselves, they overwhelmingly thoroughly believe the Holocaust narrative. They sincerely believe it. And of course, nobody's allowed to question it. Like in America, okay, that's rhetoric. But in Europe and Canada and most of the Western world, you're legally not allowed to question it. And so it's not being questioned. And so why wouldn't they continue to believe it? But the fact is, at a minimum, it is embellished and exaggerated and taken out of context. And if it were examined,
constantly invoked to justify behavior.
Yeah, and it's invoked to justify the worst behavior. And I mean, even the most cucked out philo Semites. Hey, it's not good for Jews to be doing this stuff, but for other slightly less cucked out white people, look, the going along with the whole Holocaust narrative, look what it's done to the these babies in Gaza. That's why these babies in Gaza are dying, is because you white people are afraid to question a pile of shoes. You know, you're afraid to question anything. And I don't know. I'm just throwing that out there. But, you know, white people won't stand up for themselves, but some of them are willing to stand up for brown people. So I'm throwing it out there.
Yeah. And to some extent, of course, white people are scared too, because, you know, to some extent, white people have been castrated and had their hands tied behind their back into affirming their identity with decades of like a mass menticide perpetrated against white people, like you said, for the Holocaust. For the Russians, you know, different pogroms historically, slavery. And a lot of the time, if not most of the time, these are narratives which are put forth aggressively by Jews, because the Jews run the media and they have tremendous influence in our political system and our judicial system and our media. Right at, you know, editor and sub-editor level, it's, you know, so they're, and actually ownership of these media, so they're very, very powerful people, and they push this narrative. So, you know, to some extent, white people are at a disadvantage because of the apparent transgressions of our ancestors, where only white people historically have done evil things. And in fact, by the left in this country and in the United States as well, and across the in Europe, a lot of the time they conflate Israel with white people, and that, this is why, to some extent, why Israel does receive condemnation for what it does. Particularly this current genocide, because it sort of fits the narrative of what people think. Well, they're Ashkenazi Jews. They're white, you know, essentially. Because they don't know anything about Jews. They've never studied anything about Jewish people and their past and their characteristics and how aggressive they are and how much control they have. It's a sad situation, really. But you were mentioning Trump. What's Trump been saying then?
So Trump was interviewed by an Israeli newspaper. I'm not sure which one. Trump is always very ambiguous, very fuzzy. And he said something like, yeah, I would have, you know, after what happened on October 7th, I would have done exactly what you did. Anybody would have done exactly what you did. But blowing up all of these buildings, these civilian buildings, you're losing a lot of support, and you're just going to lose support. And you got to finish the war. Now, what does finish the war mean? So, Trump was roundly criticized on RBN and other places for having said, you've got to, what did they say? He didn't say, he was accused of saying finish the job, but he didn't say finish the job. He said, what was it? He said finish the problem. So 2 weeks ago, he said finish the problem, and he got roundly criticized in our circle. To the Israelis, he said, finish the war. Now, finish is often synonymous with end. Did he mean you've got to end the war, like a ceasefire? Or finish...
What do you mean, Donald? Final solution?
But finish... finish and final, they're cognate. They're similar words. Finish, as in complete. You've got to complete it. And it could be taken either way. Although, look at that in context. If you're saying you've got to finish the war because you are losing support and you're becoming isolated, and why are you becoming isolated? You're becoming isolated because people see death and destruction on their TV sets. Then does that mean you should do a giant orgy of death and destruction to finish it when that's what's, you know, so... people can look at it and interpret it in a variety of ways, but between that and then the United States government, the Biden administration, not vetoing a resolution in the Security Council calling for a ceasefire that did not condemn Hamas. It didn't condemn Hamas, but it called for a lasting ceasefire,
Because the United States didn't abstain from a vote, which is called some new
change. So it passed. It passed 14. It was otherwise unanimous. Japan and Britain and France all voting in favor, and the United States abstaining. So it passed. And then one other thing: Chuck Schumer, the guardian of Israel, is calling on Netanyahu to resign. I don't know if he said it quite those words, but it's pretty clear.
Well, this is a complete headache, you see, for these politicians, because they're damned if they do and they're damned if they don't, because the Israeli lobbies are so powerful that, you know, they rely on that and they're bought and paid for. But at the same time, domestically, it's untenable for them to continue to stand with Israel. And I think Israel is just guilty of, you know, just abject hubris, that it literally thinks it can do what it wants and there's going to be no consequences for it. But it's always interesting how this angle is always taken, because it's still coming at, you know, from a place of defense of Israel. It was the same with Alex Jones. They're condemning it. This is a genocide. But rather than just condemning it and rubbing your hands of these people, then it's always, don't they know what they're doing? You know, I'm with Israel. I'm with the cause of Israel. Well, why? You know, all they do is kill people and steal their land. I mean, this is just the worst example we've had of it. certainly in recent times, but, you know, what about just some outright absolute condemnation? Sorry, I'm done with Israel. At least people like, you know, Larry Johnson and people like that say that. They're like, you know, and Scott Ritter, who said, you know, I was previously a supporter of Israel and their right to exist, but I'm done with them after this, you know?
Well, I will say, since the Arab-Israeli War of 1973, the Yom Kippur War, I remember asking, I said to my my parents, I said, you know, we're watching Walter Cronkite on TV. I said, the only reason America's supporting Israel is because it's got oil. And then my dad saying, well, actually, it's the Arabs that have the oil. I said, why are we supporting Israel then?
Come fly with me, let's fly away. If you can use some exotic booze, there's a bar.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after exercise. It's amazing, and I ordered my second bottle. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. So far, a great product is what it claims to be. Great product. A few days in, and I could feel a difference for certain. Not checking medical stats yet. I know this is really working by how I feel. We'll continue to take this product. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Paudi Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Pack up, let's fly away.
You know, we're watching Walter Cronkite on TV. I said, the only reason America's supporting Israel is because it's got oil. And then my dad saying, well, actually, it's the Arabs that have the oil. I said, why are we supporting Israel then? They couldn't answer me.
Yeah. But like I said, I don't know where Israel think they're going to take this. You know, it's like obviously they're bitten off more than they can chew. It's a fool's errand to think that they're going to be able to eradicate Hamas.
Yes. It's a fool's errand, but they're the right people for the job.
Well, they'll certainly give it a good go. But the problem is, you know, on the surface of that land, you have civilians. the Hamas have got a very substantial tunnel network where they can, even if they do invade Rafah properly, they can just pop down, you know, 50 feet to 100 feet underground and pop up at a different part of Gaza. So it's just nonsense that, you know, that you're actually going to eradicate Hamas. Meanwhile, you've probably made more martyrs. You know, even in Northern Ireland, in Bloody Sunday, they said it was the greatest recruitment drive for the Provisional IRA in its history, in Bloody Sunday. You know?
Yeah, and these people are martyrs. And they're martyrs. They're martyrs for their own cause, but they're martyrs for humanity. They're martyrs for all of humanity. This has done more to wake up and motivate people to this real problem facing civilization of Jewish supremacy than anything. And these people are martyrs. I know you're in Britain, so there's certain things that we're going to not say that'll have to remain unsaid, but yeah, they are martyrs.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So there's a lot of, you know, tensions around the world at the minute, and they just seem to be doubling down all the time in this war in Ukraine. It's very worrying, like when you mention, you know, the likes of Israel with the Samson option, and they just don't seem to be able to accept, you know, an inevitable defeat in Ukraine. So what are they going to do? Are they eventually, you know, going to keep provoking and just doubling down until Putin is forced by his own people to start attacking, you know, Western countries? I don't know. I mean, this doesn't seem like they have any sense. It's just insanity and aggression. You know, it's madness and stupidity.
It's madness and stupidity, and it's amazing when, on the one hand, it's so obvious if you bother to look at it, yet so many people, people and elites, seem not to understand what the hell's going on here. Now, I have to say here that here is in honor of Mike Rivero. What the hell's going on here? So then they don't know.
Yeah.
Okay, hey, we're at the end of the show. Do you have any final comments?
No, that's it, Patrick. Yeah, no, thanks for having me.
Okay, and thank you for joining me. It's been a great show, and I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
You and I in a little toy shop, buy a bag of balloons with the money we've got, set them free at the break of dawn, to one by one they were gone. Back at base, box in the software, flash the message, something's out there, floating in the summer sky, 99 red balloons go by.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. Easeoff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
Ease-Off, LLC, 417-932-6419.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.